As I look out on the audience, why, it encourages me. We've already had such a good Bible study this morning that has encouraged us to encourage one another. I will be like Bill. I will not call any of you a goose, but I learned some things this morning. Not only about the habits of wild creatures, but I think more important than that, as we've read the various scriptures that would teach and show us how we are to be together. Well, this maybe has never ever happened to you, but very possibly in your life's experience, you have heard someone maybe after, a terrible accident, or maybe after a terrible result in regard to an individual's life because they've chosen the wrong way. Have you ever heard anybody say, "Oh, I just wish I could start life all over again"? Wouldn't that be marvelous? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You stop and think about it. Here, regardless of the mistakes, regardless of anything that you may have done in your life, especially the bad things that you have done that have led to bad results, wouldn't it be wonderful if some way or other all of that past life could just be forgiven, be forgotten, and you could just start off life all over again? Well, do you know that you can? Did you know you can? In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, there is such a happy passage of Scripture. And you know the Bible is just full of these good things for those who will serve God. But I read in your hearing 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. In the New King James translation, it reads like this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Oh, my. Our old King James Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All right. So whether you think along the line of a new creation or a new creature, we realize it is telling us the very thing that almost, I would say, 100% of us would say that we would like to do. To start life all over again, the mistakes, the errors, the sins, all of the evil that we have ever done, all of that just in the past forgiven. And then a wonderful, bright, new, shiny beginning. Well, how is that possible? I hope that I have intrigued you enough already by the reading of this very fine scripture from God's Word, to where you say, "Brother Tope, I want to know more. How can I be a new creature? How can I start life all over again? How can I have my past errors and sins and all of those things, those terrible, terrible mistakes, how can I have them all put in the past and wiped away just as if though they had never happened?" And then to start anew. Well, the Bible tells us how this is brought about, and it tells us the wonderful results. Well, the first thing that we notice is, of course, a marvelous indication for us, because the verse starts off by saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ. Well, I don't think we'll call it a secret, but that's the answer. We cannot become a new creature unless we are in Christ. And someone, as they read that phrase, say, but what is that talking about? Well, I think we understand. Call it a figure of speech if you want to, whenever you say that individual is in Christ. But really, with a little bit of thinking on our part, we say, well, yeah, I know what that's talking about. This is describing a spiritual relationship. What is it about the individual who is a new creation that makes them different? What is it that brings about such a marvelous change? And we say, well, because this person has started off in a new relationship with Jesus Christ, in a spiritual fellowship that they had never, ever had before. Well, that's what's involved. Christ becomes a part of their life. If you will, and wanting to use terms to describe it, you can say, well, actually, now, whereas we had no guide, we had no direction in this old life that has gotten us into so much trouble, well, now then, Christ, because He is in us, well, He's guiding and directing us. He'll give you warning. He'll give you warning. If Christ is in you, He will say, no, don't you act that way. Don't you say those words. Don't you go in that direction. He will guide, He will warn, but He will bless you to be in Christ. But someone says, now, Gene, I appreciate those fine words, but really, you still have not told me what I need to know. How is it possible for Christ to come into my life? What do I have to do? How can I go about that? And again, how wonderful the New Testament scriptures are, because they tell us. Would you take just a moment to look over to Ephesians, the third chapter, and I think you will see immediately the direction that we are going in right now. Ephesians, the third chapter, and I think verse 17 is the verse we want to look at. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Oh, is that the way that Christ comes into my life? Yeah, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Well, what's that tell us? Sometimes we understand things better when we talk about the negative. And the negative of this is, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you do not believe that He is everything that He claimed to be, the Son of God, divine, that He is the Savior of mankind, everything the Bible has to say about Him, And we read that, and hopefully we say, well, you know, I believe that is true. I believe that Jesus was not just a man that came to earth. He is the Son of God. Let Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. Anytime there are problems, anytime there is a struggle, come back to this fact. When you lose faith, you're going to lose Christ, aren't you? Let Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. Well, somebody says, all right, now, I do have faith that he is the Son of God. Does that mean now already that I have Christ? No, there are still some other things that are involved. What else does an individual have to do in order that Christ may dwell within them? Well, something that some people don't want to do. Something that some people refuse to do. And that something the Bible calls repentance. Repentance. You remember when Peter came to the house of Cornelius to preach to them? That's found in Acts, the 10th and the 11th chapters. And when I look at Acts 11, as Peter rehearses this conversion of Cornelius to his Jewish brethren, this is the remark that they make in Acts 11 and verse 18. When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Oh, my. How does Christ come into your life? How do you get this new life? Well, you've got to repent. You've got to repent. That means that you have a change of mind about the old life, about the way that you've been looking at things. Unrepentant people can never have Christ in their life. The individual, I hope there is no one in the audience that way though, the individual that says, I love my sin too much to turn loose of it, they can never have Christ, you see. So there has to be that determination within that individual who says, oh, I want so much to become a new creature. I want that so much, and I've realized in order for it to come about, I've got to change my way of life, and I am determined right now. You remember the prodigal son there? Luke, the 15th chapter. He said, I will arise and go to my father and I will say. Well, he hadn't done it yet, but he had made that determination. And that's what every individual has to do. Cornelius and his household were granted repentance unto life. Christ came in to their lives. Well, you say, now I think I've got it. Through faith, Ephesians 3:17, and through repentance, Acts 11 and verse 18, now Christ is coming into my life already now. No, not yet. Not yet. What else is needed? You have to be baptized. You have to be baptized. Well, before we talk any further, I think we ought to read a passage of Scripture to see whether that is so. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. Paul, addressing the Galatian Christians, says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Well, that's what we found out. But what does that faith cause you to do? Verse 27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ," what happens? "Have put on Christ." Oh, my. Is faith important? Oh, don't ever let anybody tell you faith is not important in putting on Christ. Is repentance necessary? Absolutely. But you know, our friends have it totally wrong whenever they say it is faith alone that will enable Christ to come into your life, or all you've got to do is say, "I'm going to change my way of life and Christ will come in." No, those are preparatory things. Those are things you have to do in order to do the last thing, in order that you may really put Him on. And when and where do people put on Christ? When does Christ come into your life? Whenever you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And isn't that what Jesus said? He said to the 12, "Go into all the world." I'm quoting Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. "Go into all the world," Jesus said, "and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned." Oh, but Galatians 3 just fits that just like hand in glove. We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. "For as many of us as were baptized into Christ," what has happened? We put on Christ. All right. My dear friends, I can give you an assurance this morning. You know, there's lots of folks out there that are salesmen, and they say, "I assure you, if you do this or that, this is going to be the happy result." Do you know who gives us assurance now about starting the new life? God does, in His book. So I can give you assurance that if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you will have that kind of repentant heart where you say, "I'm going to leave this life and I'm going to start off all over again," and you say, "I want to be baptized just like Saul of Tarsus, so I can wash away my sins," Acts 22 and verse 16. And then what happens? Well, you come up out of the waters of baptism, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, and you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Have you experienced that yet in your life? I don't know why men and women would hesitate. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to be able to start life all over again. Well, old things are passed away. Whenever we talk about a new beginning, old things have passed away. All of our goals and our attitudes back that past life, they have all been changed. we have forgiveness of sins. How many sins have you committed? Well, if you're honest, you probably say, Gene, I've lost count. I've lost count. Do you know that whenever you become a new creature in Christ, every one of those sins are forgiven? Maybe you remember the Old Testament passage, Isaiah 1 and 18, where he says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Well, the New Testament takes up that theme. In Hebrews, the 8th chapter, this is what we read, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, listen, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Do you know what a wonderful God our Heavenly Father is? We sometimes will hear people say, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you, but I want you to know I'm never, ever going to forget what you did. What kind of forgiveness is that? Being a new creature, God forgives you of every sin, and He won't remember it anymore. You're just starting life out all over again. How wonderful. Not only do we have a new beginning, but we establish a new relationship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. When Christ is within us, oh, He is our friend. We are in His kingdom. You know, there are some of the people around us that say, the kingdom has not yet come. That is something that has to happen when Christ comes back again. No, if Christ is in you, then He has added you to His kingdom. If you're writing down scripture, and if you're like me, I don't always remember these things, but if you're writing down scripture, write down Colossians, the first chapter, and verse 13. And this is the way Colossians 1:13 reads. He has delivered us, this is our Lord, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. What is that? Oh, that's the devil, isn't it? That's his kingdom. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. How wonderful this new creature is. Not only is it so that He is in the kingdom, He has a new name. He has a new name. What is that name? Christian. Christian. Acts 11 and verse 26 says, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Well, you say, Brother Tope, won't just anything do? No, not just anything will do. We ask our friends when we get into a friendly religious discussion with them, we say, what are you? And they say, well, I'm a Presbyterian. I attend the Episcopal Church. I am a Methodist, I'm a Roman Catholic, Do you know you cannot read of any of those names in the Bible? No Baptist church mentioned at all. It's not there. It did not start for, hundreds and hundreds of years after Christ said, I'll build my church. You don't read of anybody in the Bible who was a new creature in Christ that would say, I'm a Presbyterian. Why? There was no Presbyterian church back then. Do you know what all of those folks were who had Christ dwelling within them? They were Christians. And every single time, whenever somebody asks you, what are you religiously? I'll tell you what, with a great big old smile on your face, just about the biggest smile you can have, you say to that person, I am a Christian. We're glorifying the name of Christ whenever we say that. We're followers of Christ. And if somebody has the audacity to say, well, what kind of Christian are you? What are you going to say now? A Baptist Christian? Oh, I don't read of anything like that in my Bible, do you? A Presbyterian Christian? A Catholic Christian? No. You say, that's all I am. Christ dwells within me. I am a Christian. You have a new attitude. All of these new creatures in Christ do. They've got a new attitude. They've got a new attitude toward sin and Satan. Look over 1 Peter, I think it is. 1 Peter, the second chapter. Verse 11, Peter says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Do you know what kind of fellow the devil is that you've been serving in the old life? He's a roaring lion. A roaring lion. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. This is what every Christian, everyone that has Christ in them is to do. Be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How often does he do that? Every day. Every day. If you have withstood the devil yesterday, that doesn't mean he's going to give up on you today, does it? He just keeps on day after day, week after week, month after month. And you know that those that are in Christ Jesus, they say, I know who you are. I know who you are. You're the devil. You're acting like a roaring lion and you want to consume me. You want to devour me. But I'm going to resist you steadfast in the faith. Best of all. Is this what you've been waiting for? I hope so. Best of all, new creatures have a new goal. I have a new goal. It's not to go on vacation in the Bahamas. It is not a trip to Hawaii. It's to go to heaven. It's to go to heaven. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. And this is what the book of Philippians, the third chapter, has to tell us about that goal that all of God's creatures have. This is the way that it reads in Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he's going to do. There's nothing like this. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. We're going to be like him, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. If you are a new creature in Christ, you have the most wonderful future ahead of you. It really does not matter what is going on in this life from that standpoint. But every day, don't turn loose of the goal that you have. Regardless of temptation, regardless of the trials, regardless of persecution, regardless of if friends forsake you, keep your eye on the goal. If Christ is in you, you are a new creature, and you can joyfully say, I'm going to heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. I hope the lesson has been an encouragement to you. And I hope that every one of us is just asking ourselves that question right now. Am I a new creature? Does Christ dwell in me? You can let that happen today. You confess your faith. You believe he's the Son of God. As you turn away from every sin of your life and determine that you will live as Christ lives and directs you, be baptized and serve him every day. Brother Jim, would you lead us? Let's stand and sing. Let us help you if we can, please.